It's the end of an era for the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, but they're going out with a bang, putting their first female ringmaster center stage. We'll speak with her just ahead. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9, and make sure to watch or catch up on all of our shows through the WJCT app. Just ahead, after nearly 150 years, the circus is about to stop its long-running roadshow. But first, we're going to welcome the first female ringmaster to Studio 5 as she takes your calls. Get on the line now and share your thoughts and memories and questions about the end of the circus. It's 549-2937. Then later, we're going to tell you all about Wellness RX, a new program to get Jacksonville healthier. All of that and more ahead this hour. But first this morning, after nearly 150 years, the greatest show on earth is folding up its tents. Did you hear about this? The iconic Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus will shut down later this spring after 146 years on the road. Now, while the circus says the announcement is not a win for animal rights activists, groups like PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, have hailed the decision, saying that their decades of protests against the treatment of circus animals they claimed was inhumane have been successful. Now, the circus is currently seeking permanent homes for those animals. Also, hundreds of circus employees will soon be looking for new jobs. However, you still have one last chance to see the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus because it's in town. And this time around, the circus has its first ever woman ringmaster. That's right. This morning, we are talking about the circus with the ringmaster, Kristen Michelle Wilson, as she joins us in studio and takes your calls. Kristen, good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having us.
And by the way, I love your outfit. It is absolutely spectacular. I wish everyone can see it. They can look at WJCTnews.org later today to check you out.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it is really spectacular. You'll have to check it out. And definitely come on down to see it in person yourself. We're going to be at Veterans Memorial Arena from Thursday till Sunday this week. And we're so excited to be back here in Jacksonville one final time.
It's the last time ever to see the circus. What do you think about that? What are your memories of going to the circus, and what are your thoughts about the circus ending after years of protests around the treatment of circus animals, in particular circus elephants? We want your calls, and it's your chance also to connect with the first ever female ringmaster at the circus, Kristen Wilson. The number to join us, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet us, weigh in on our Facebook page, and later we'll talk about the circus ending and everything that's led up to that. But first, Kristen Wilson, you are the 39th ringmaster in Ringling Brothers history, the first ever woman ringmaster. It only took them 146 years to yes, put a woman in the center ring. So congratulations, you broke a barrier.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, the 39th ringmaster, which means there have been more United States presidents than there have been ringmasters
right.
for the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And it's such an honor to be able to bring a little femininity to the floor.
And how did you get this job?
Well, it is just so wild. I'm actually from right up the road, born and raised in Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have always loved entertaining. As a child, I would go to every single concert and opera and play that I could. I remember my very first circus in the early 80s at the Civic Center in Tallahassee, and I just fell in love with the bright lights and the colors, and I remember the ringmaster just being so large and loud and proud and in charge, and I wanted to be that type of a person.
It's always been seen as a guy's job. Now, you bring some femininity to this. How do you master the ring?
Well, you know, it's funny because it has always been a man's job, and there was the debate when I was given the position, would I be called a ring mistress?
Really?
And I felt very strongly that ring master.
That sounds a little salacious.
Agreed. And to be fair, the job is not gender specific.
Right.
It is a very gender neutral position, just like the circus is. We encourage people of all ages to come out, no matter where you're from or how old you are, what you look like. You are going to find so many things that you love. And that's what makes the circus such a special part of our American history.
Had you been with the circus before you got this job, or is this your first gig with the circus?
Well, this is my first time working for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And that's a fair question, because a lot of the circus performers are multi-generational. They grew up in it. I grew up as a performer. I had been previously a show host and a singer. I'd been touring with my band all around Florida for the last 6.5 years. And when I heard that Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus was doing a worldwide search for a brand new ringmaster, I said, I have to throw my hat in the ring.
So literally,
you could apply online from anywhere in the world.
How many people did you beat out?
Oh, there were at least 100. They had 5 major audition cities. Orlando was the very last one. And I've lived in Orlando the last 6.5 years, working at a dinner show, working with my band.
What's your band name?
Sonic Gypsies.
Nice.
So Sonic for music and Gypsies because, you know, I love all different styles of music and entertainment. And truly, it couldn't be a better preparation for living on a circus train and traveling the country presenting the greatest show on earth.
We'll go to your calls for Ringmaster Kristen Wilson in a moment, 549-2937, as we share your thoughts and memories about the circus. It's coming to an end after one final show here in Jacksonville. The circus will fold up its tents. No more Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus anymore after nearly 150 years in this country. And what do you think about that, by the way?
Well, you know, I think all of us were just completely caught off guard. We were surprised. We were shocked. We were saddened. You know, we were given the news on Saturday, this past Saturday. So it's just been a very short amount of time to process it. But we are performers first. And, you know, as soon as the news hit, I think all of us were instantly steeling ourselves for the 3 remaining shows that we had in Orlando following the announcement. And we are just leaving it all out on the floor. We will be touring with my show, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Presents Circus Extreme, through May 7th. And we're here in Jacksonville this week from Thursday until Sunday, the 19th till the 22nd. So we are encouraging everyone in America, come out, bring your family, and let the next generation know how special the circus means, what it means to everyone.
And certainly families have grown up with this, taken their kids,
yes,
and so forth. At the same time, the circus earlier this year, or maybe it was last year, correct me if I'm wrong, retired the elephants from the circus after years of controversy over the use of elephants in the live shows. Animal advocacy groups had charged the circus parent company with not treating them humanely. The company always denied that. Now the parent company is saying that even though they had won court cases over the treatment of animals in the circus, they could not win in the court of public opinion. There had been growing opposition to the use of animals in the shows. So as the parent company seeks a permanent home for these animals prepares to shut down, what are your thoughts about the controversy over the years with regard to the treatment of not just the elephants, but all the circus animals?
Well, I understand, you know, about the history of it. And the parent company who produces Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is Feld Entertainment. And they have actually been producing Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. So they really know what they're talking about. They are longtime producers, a family-run business, and they are circus lovers first. So I know that this must have been such a heart-wrenching decision. And you're right. Feld Entertainment decided to retire Ringling's elephants back in May of 2016. And, you know, they stand by that decision. In the court of public opinion, that seemed to be what audiences were asking for. Mm-hmm. All of our elephants now have been retired to the Center for Elephant Conservation, which is a beautiful 200-acre facility in Central Florida. We do still have several animals on Circus Extreme, so if you come out this weekend, you're going to get to see 14 ferocious felines. We have horses. We have 19 prancing poodles. So we do still have some animals that the kids can see and interact with. I think that has been a great debate among a number of people. But over the last decade, Feld Entertainment has faced numerous litigations, and every single one they have prevailed. The treatment of the animals is top-notch, 24-hour veterinary care, and there is so much love, so much respect, such a bond between the veterinarians, the trainers, and these animals, and to be able to present them to the next generation so that they can know and love and respect that bond that humans and animals can share, I think is very important.
And let's go to your calls now for Ringmaster Kristen Wilson. What are your thoughts about the end of the Barnum and Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus? 549-2937. Lisa is calling down from South Florida this morning. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, as a child, I did go to the circus without really realizing the lives that the animals led. You know, they weren't looking for a job and hired. They were basically indentured servants that were, you know, traveled around on a train or in trucks to different places. And I'm very happy that the animals are not going to have to be subjected to this. I've seen videos of where Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus kept their lions in these very small cages. And, you know, I'm happy the elephants are where they are. I wish it was a different sanctuary because I've heard numerous problems with where you have the elephants. But I'm wondering what the plans are now for these animals, these felines that you spoke about, which really they're not ferocious felines. That's kind of their wild lions and tigers that should be on a sanctuary where they can roam and live out their lives. But I'm wondering what Ringling Brothers' plans are for these animals. Are they going to sell them to the highest bidder, or is there a sanctuary plan for them?
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Well, good morning, and thank you for sharing your sentiment. You know, I know that there's a lot of different opinions, and I certainly respect your opinion. I think that the very, very first priority for Feld Entertainment is going to be to ensure the lifetime care of all of these incredible animals, as well as moving forward with all of the performers, cast, crew, corporate, who after 146 years are suddenly discovering that our way of life is changing. And they are very committed to finding suitable homes, wonderful care for the duration of the lifetime of all of these amazing animals. These are family members. And the same goes also for all of the employees and performers. You know, we really are a family-friendly business, and so we're looking out for each other. But before any of that can happen, through May, we will continue our tours, and I really hope that you come to Catch Circus Extreme, because I think that you'll see firsthand the love and joy that we're able to share with audiences and children of all ages.
Here's an email from Clyde. I had the pleasure of seeing Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus at Madison Square Garden in 1957 when I was living in New Jersey. It was mesmerizing and magical for a seven-year-old boy. It's a shame that it will not be around for new generations. So certainly quite a few fans still out there that love going to the circus. At the same time, following on what the caller said, here's the statement from the animal advocacy group PETA. They said, society has changed, eyes have been opened, people now know who these animals are, and we know it is wrong to capture and exploit them. That sentiment is also driving, I think, some of the backlash against the treatment of animals at SeaWorld. That has become quite controversial, the idea that animals are being exploited for entertainment. I'm just curious to follow up with what you said. Feld Entertainment, where do we know yet where they might place the animals that are still part of the circus? Where will they go? Do we know this yet?
Well, I'm not sure, actually. You know, that's definitely something that in the coming weeks and months will be discussed and released to the public, I'm sure, because mm-hmm. that's definitely a concern of everyone involved, especially the family who loves and cares for them as they mm-hmm. always have. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I really encourage everyone to come see the show yourself. Really, it is a spectacular production.
And it opens Thursday. Yeah.
We open Thursday, yes, indeed, at the Veterans Memorial Arena.
Let's go to Elizabeth in Mandarin. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was interested in the statement about where the animals will be placed. And as an animal advocate, I just wanted to make the point that the people who were speaking up for the animals when they were in the circus will also be watching carefully about where they are placed. The other comment I have is just to set the record straight. It's not correct that Feld Entertainment won every legal situation that they were in regarding animals. Feld Entertainment had to pay a $270,000 fine for violations of the Animal Welfare Act. And that was the largest fine in circus history.
Actually, so I do think that that is wrong. I'm sorry about that. Just recently, in the last 2 years, Feld Entertainment was awarded $25 million as a settlement for all of these false accusations for over a decade of court costs.
Right. You understand that the $270,000 fine was assessed by the USDA, and that Ringling paid it, and it was for violations of the Animal Welfare Act.
I think we might have to agree to disagree. I don't believe there was a fine of that nature.
All right.
But, you know, I tell you something. There's a lot of opinions about this, and I understand that. But the thing is this is the greatest show on earth. There is a proud 146-year history. It has been a huge part of Americana for decades and generations. People have lined up waiting to see circus trains roll into your town. And this is the last time that you can see this. This is the greatest show on earth. We have 13 different countries represented on this show. And we have incredible performers from all around the world. Yes, there are some animals. They're also amazing human beings. And that's what makes me so proud, is this is a show where people of all different types can come together and can be really inspired to see what happens when humanity comes together and works together. We can accomplish incredible things. And this show is inspiration for that. And it shows the next generation what's possible when you work really hard and dream really big.
Let me ask you, Kristen, did Ringling consider continuing the circus with no animals?
I'm
this
not
has
sure
become
about
such
that.
A controversy, such an issue.
Absolutely. I'm not sure about that. You know, I think all of us were caught off guard, and I know that it's not a decision that was made lightly. I can only imagine the anguish that the family had making the decision. They are multi-generational circus producers, so this is a first love. But this is also the largest global live entertainment production company in the entire world, in addition to the two Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey circuses that have been crisscrossing the country for so many years. They also produce many other shows, Disney Live, Disney on Ice, Marvel Comics Live.
And will folks like you, employees of this circus, will you try to maybe get a job with one of those other productions?
Well, perhaps. You know, I don't know that all of the employees would be able to transfer into those shows. And some of the acts that we have in Circus Extreme are very specific circus acts. We have high wire acts. We have an amazing human cannonball artist. We have a pendulum of steel where a man is spinning around above your head and running. It is just spectacular. So some of those particular specialty acts really need a circus environment to thrive. They wouldn't transfer into a traditional four-wall theater. That's what makes the circus so special, is it's a little of everything, and it's general entertainment for the whole family.
Let's go to Richard now. Richard in Jacksonville. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hey, Melissa. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
You know, as I get older, memories are the best things you have in your life. And my memories of the circus start with Emmett Kelly sitting on my mom's lap at Madison Square Garden, to my friend Ron Savarini becoming the dean of clown school. I watched him juggling outside his house and go to clown school, and actually he got married with him and his wife at the clowns at Madison Square Garden. I attended the wedding.
Wow.
Watch my kids ride on the elephants, and while I know there are things that are concerns about animal rights people, the memories people have are as valuable as anything they have in their lives.
I couldn't agree with
thanks,
you more.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for that call. And let's go now to Walter in St. Augustine. Go ahead, Walter.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kristen, y'all. I think it's like ludicrous or whatever. It's like, I've been like in wildlife rehabilitation for like, over close to 20 years. And like, and also like, I mean, when you talk about like animals in the circus, I mean, like, what do you think about when you think about zoos or whatever? I mean, you know, people don't complain about animals in zoos.
Actually, they do, but that's another show. yeah, I hear what you're saying, Walter. But there, yeah, there are activists that don't, that feel that zoos are exploitive as well.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it behooves y'all, like, I mean, to treat your animals well. And I mean, that's my major point is like, I mean, y'all should take care very well of your animals. I mean,
absolutely.
I can't believe that people would be like, you know, saying y'all mistreating the animals and stuff like that. They should be in the wild. Maybe y'all raise them from like when they were young animals.
No, that's absolutely true. All of our animals have been bottle fed since they were babies. These are animals that were born with us. They're multi-generational. These are family members. And I just came on board, but I've been so
proud. How long have you been with the circus?
Well, I actually auditioned in September, and throughout the fall, I was going through sort of this secret process of learning the show, getting to travel out on the road and see the show in a number of cities. My big premiere was this past week at the Amway Center in Orlando. So here we are on my very second week of touring with the show. And, you know, I know that we're going to come to a close in 4 months.
Yeah, kind of an emotional roller coaster for you,
well,
I would think.
You know, I could not be more honored to have this experience. This is the biggest chapter of my life. And what a dream come true it has been.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with the first ever female ringmaster of the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, Kristen Michelle Wilson. We're talking about her breakthrough at the same time that the circus has announced it will shut down this spring after 146 years on the road. And by the way, people are tweeting to me about the earlier caller, the settlement agreement between the USDA and Feld Entertainment. This is from the USDA's website at usda.gov. Feld did pay a civil penalty of $270,000 for alleged violations of the Animal Welfare Act. I just wanted to make that clear that we did recognize what the caller said there. And let's go now to Brian in Jack's Beach. Go ahead, Brian.
Hello. I was going to say thanks to the circus for raising public awareness over the generations, because a lot of the animal rights groups are benefiting from so many people getting rightly sentimental about animals from theme parks and circuses, as well as of course cartoons that you know, anthropomorphize them. But I also wanted to say break a leg to all the human talent as well, and I'm glad to hear that there are some spin-off shows that will allow them to continue their training, and good luck to that. And I know you can't talk too much about other projects, but good luck with them. And that was about it. It looks like you addressed that a good bit earlier. But,
yeah, thanks, Brian. So
thank you. And what will you do after the circus ends in May? What are your plans?
It's exciting to know what may be next. And the honest answer is I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was initially assuming that this tour would continue through April of 2018. Obviously, I've had just a couple of days to process the fact that it will end in May. But I really, even if I had known when I was offered the position that it was only going to be a 4-month run, I still would have jumped at the chance. I mean, this is a lifetime bucket list level opportunity. And when someone offers you your dream, you don't say no. Even if you only get to live it for one day, it's the best day of your life.
Well, you can go see Kristen. It'll be your last opportunity to check out the circus. It is in town, kicking off Thursday through Sunday at Veterans Memorial Arena. Kristen Wilson is the first ever female ringmaster of the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. As I said, it only took them 146 years to give the job to a woman. They did that so fast.
Well,
good
you
for
know,
them.
It's
I'm
amazing.
Sorry, I kid.
One of the funny things is that, you know, there have always been a strong, strong tradition of women in circus.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the very first human cannonballs in the 1800s was a woman.
Oh, really?
So obviously, what we have always looked for is someone who is the best and brightest and most talented in that particular department. So when you're flinging through the air and doing a triple somersault, you're not concerned with what that person looks like who's going to catch you. You just want to know that they're going to catch you. So Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has a strong tradition of leading ladies in many different roles, both performance and production. In fact, we're produced by three strong women. And it really is the honor of my life to be able to represent for young women and young boys out there as well, to know that we can be anything we want to be. We are not limited by our gender, what we look like, or where we come from. We just have to work really hard and dream really big, because it's all possible.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us. Enjoy your time
in Jacksonville.
Thank you. And we can't wait to see you. It's the very last opportunity to see the greatest show on earth. So come on out. Don't miss it. It's going to be great.
She is Kristen Michelle Wilson, the ringmaster at the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. Much more still ahead. We'll be right back.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Next time on 1A, Donald Trump's new cabinet is shaping up to look like a lot of corporate boards, mostly male and mostly white. Not since President Ford have so few women been up for leadership positions. How can America make the best decisions when the folks at the top look and sound so much alike? That's next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Groundwater is disappearing worldwide as farmers race to pump as much as possible.
We'd almost be better off if our house were burning to the ground as I speak, rather than having our well go dry.
And political tensions are rising.
Yeah, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting.
Water Wars on the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Giuseppe Verdi was overseeing opera rehearsals when his star soprano got sick and the opera had to be delayed. To pass the time, Verdi wrote a string quartet. Later, he said, "I don't know if it's beautiful or ugly. I only know it's a quartet." Verdi's one and only string quartet on the next performance today from 8 p.m.
Weeknights at 7 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, right now, we want to tell you about an important new wellness partnership for Jacksonville, Wellness RX. It's a collaboration between Mayo Clinic and the Newtown Success Zone. And this partnership has been forged after a recent health assessment identified health disparities as a major concern for Jacksonville. Here with more, we welcome George Maxey, Executive Director of Newtown Success Zone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us, Dr. Ivan Porter. He's a nephrologist with Mayo Clinic. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melissa.
And what are your questions about Wellness RX, and what are your biggest concerns about health disparities here on the First Coast? And by that, we're talking about big differences in health between different populations of people here in Jacksonville. Give us a call at 549-2937. Let us know all about it. George Maxey, let's begin with you. First, let's explain to our listeners what Newtown Success Zone is all about, because they might not all be aware of what you, the important work that you
yes.
do.
Well, Newtown Success Zone, at least it's an area that's adjacent to Edward Waters College, right off of Kings Road. It goes down Myrtle, cuts across Beaver, and up by College Circle. You're talking about an area of about 4,000 residents, about 800 individuals under the age of 18. It's an area that's looked upon as being impoverished, but it's a lot of pride. Most of the area is single-family units, so it's not housing authority, but actually individuals who are homeowners. And 60% of the people who live there are homeowners. owners, not renters. So, I mean, it's many times an older community that has transformed and changed over time, and just really trying to give that special attention and bring it back to its vital usefulness that used to be in Jacksonville.
Right. And Newtown's been in place for some time now,
yes,
working in that section of town. Mm-hmm. Dr. Porter, what inspired Mayo Clinic then to partner up with Newtown Success Zone for Wellness RX?
Mayo Clinic's always been interested in community health. It's been here on the First Coast for over 30 years. They've had a number of different initiatives that they've attempted to go forward with, some successful, some less successful. This seems like the perfect opportunity to kind of tie into the goals of the Newtown Success Zone. That's educating the community, empowering the community, and then just encouraging people to be accountable for their own health.
And how are you guys going to work together to do that? How is this going to work?
Well, I mean, I must say that giving credit to Mayo Clinic, specifically Anne-Marie Knight, who's been working closely with us here in Newtown area, and really pretty much, as Dr. Porter said, you know, putting some of the power back in the hands of the individuals who are trying to create that level of change for themselves when it comes to health needs. And we really want to be able to give them the proper exposure, but also take a level of accountability in regards to what does that change look like, because it can't be a one-day thing. It's going to be something that's going to be over a time span over 18 months, and having a true partnership with some of the nonprofits and working closely with Mayo Clinic.
It's 549-2937 as we talk about Wellness RX. So how are we going to see this working? And when we talk about health disparities, Doctor, we're talking about everything from life expectancy for babies in, for example, Health Zone 1, which is a part of town that is challenged by a range of socioeconomic issues, life expectancy, infant mortality, rates of HIV and AIDS, diabetes, heart disease, obesity. These are all health issues that are of great concern in Duval County for large segments of the population. So how are you going to be on the ground in the city of Jacksonville working on these issues with Newtown?
We want to help people identify these goals in order to be healthier, in order to be successful. So, you know, we talk about wellness. Wellness is just not health. It's mental health. It's financial stability. It's being able to find a job. It's being able to get to work. So we need mentorship in the community, people that are successful to share the ways that they were successful. And we've got to show that we're there. So we want to help people identify their goals. We want to help people meet those goals. And then we want to help them be accountable. Did they meet them? Why didn't they meet them? How can we help you get there?
Yes. And how's that going to, how are you going to educate people, reach people, hold people accountable?
And this is it, and I guess this is the part that is so unique in the partnership. Mayo has committed in regards to utilizing its level of influence within the community to get people to come to Newtown. But now it's up to the individuals who live in Newtown, and we call ourselves Vision Keepers, where we're going to work in partnership with others, neighbors, helping neighbors. So as individuals learn more about, you know, different needs that they may have, and as you mentioned in regards to the disparities, how can we encourage people to create a lifestyle change? And to do that, it takes really a village concept. So everybody working in unison, encouraging individuals working together to create a level of change.
What would you identify as the biggest barriers in the Newtown Success Zone to changing people's habits, getting them to be healthier? I mean, I can right off the bat, I can think of the fact that there are food deserts in this part of town. It's difficult to get access to fresh fruit and vegetables.
Correct.
These aren't particularly walkable communities.
No, it's not.
People don't often have reliable transportation to a good paying job if they don't have a car that works well. There are a lot of structural problems.
Yes.
How are you guys, and you've been working on these, I know Newtown has for many years.
Yes.
How is this going to build on what you're trying to do?
Well, I think that, you know, it's really looking at it from an organic perspective, that all these things work together, not in isolation. So as we look at the issues, people may have multiple issues, but there may be ways in which we can work together in collaboration. Perfect example, you mentioned the food desert. Well, what we did is we created an urban farm. So we work with Urban Geoponics, and on Sundays we sell fruits and vegetables, but we have the community throughout the week along with middle school students working with Soul Connection in regards to how to eat healthier, because having access to fruits and vegetables doesn't necessarily mean individuals are going to buy fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So you really got to change mindsets from that perspective.
Melissa, I mean, that's a great question. And so what you've brought up is that, hey, there are these barriers that are present, and there are some people that have been able to fight those barriers and overcome them. So the goal is to promote those success stories to help others that face the same barriers find the ways through them and find the ways over them.
What are some of success stories you can point to?
Some to point to. What we hope to do is have people's personal goals be able to look at those again in a one-year period. Have you met those goals, and why not? And the people that around you that did meet those goals, let's look at some of the reasons why that happened, and what can we change for you that can get you to that point, whether that be weight.
Are you going to be going door-to-door?
Yes, we're going to be going door-to-door this coming Saturday to canvass the community. We're working closely with United Way. We're going to be on 211 to get the information out, working closely with media relations at Edward Waters College, getting it to all the students to participate, because this is not just open to Newtown. This is open to the entire community. Mm-hmm. We're working with Feeding Northeast Florida, where we're going to be giving away groceries on that day, and also doing health screenings through the health department. But Dr. Porter makes a great point in regards to examples. Examples sometimes are individuals who live in a community. I can think of my Miss Marcia, who was overweight. She got her weight under control, got her diabetes under control. She no longer has to take insulin. But this is the part that's so powerful. She has taken the time to get trained to become a diabetes instructor. Mm-hmm. So now she actually goes into homes right now and helps other neighbors in the community in regards to what does that look like. So, you know, it's really that level of knowledge. And I think that's a beautiful part that Mayo Clinic is really working with us on, is bringing that knowledge and education to the community, and it's our responsibility to take advantage of it.
And we need to mention as well, this partnership, Wellness RX, came about as the result of the recent community health needs assessment, which was done for Jacksonville. I mentioned that a minute ago, Doctor. What were the major findings in that assessment that caught your eye?
Yeah, back in 2015, when this was done, some of the major indicators that were found in these disparately affected communities were things like tobacco abuse, things like the number of strokes that they've had or that family members have had, and how much obesity is present, how many people can afford to go to their doctor visit and can get there and back, mental health needs. These are all the things that were disparately affected in Health Zone 1 particularly, but in these disparate affected communities.
And George Maxey, Executive Director of Newtown Success Zone, you mentioned a moment ago that Newtown was modeled on the Harlem Children's Zone in New York, in Harlem, which is a cradle-to-college program that of wraparound services, helping kids and families. There are a lot of moving parts to it.
Yes, it is. And we really try to adopt a two-generation model in that concept. And again, under the direction of Ms. Pamela Paul, Dr. Nathaniel Glover, we have really focused on community engagement, community accountability, community governance. So when we look at that cradle-to-career concept, we're looking at, hey, it really truly takes a village, and what does that actually look like, and how can individuals be part of the process from looking at our seniors. We work closely with Shell Sweet Center, ran by Mrs. Heath, that we just look at everybody's part of the process of change.
And now you said you'll be starting this by going door to door Saturday. After that, how will this continue to roll out?
So the door-to-door event, I believe, is the week prior to the kickoff event, which is January 28th on Edward Waters College campus. And so, again, at that point, people will identify goals and they'll enter them for us. We'll hold those, and we will have something to hold these community members accountable to meet them. And then along the way, what does Mayo Clinic do well? We educate each other. We educate our patients. We educate our colleagues. So we hope to empower the community with education, you know, in addition to the clinical care and the research that we do.
Yeah, and I will say that we have over 20 agencies, community agencies, that have been rallied together by Mayo Clinic to have them commit themselves for this 18-month process. And a kickoff is key to the rally, because we want to make sure that individuals fully understand that this is not a one-day event. This is something that is, we're looking at creating change over a time span that can truly be measured. So when this report is done again, we see a decrease. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate Mayo Clinic really being community champions. I appreciate all these other agencies who are joining along and realizing that, you know, again, it takes a village.
It's Wellness RX. Thanks so much for joining us. George Maxey, he's executive director of the Newtown Success Zone. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ivan Porter of Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in a moment, big news from the Florida National Guard up in the sky. We'll tell you in a moment.
On the next Fresh Air, Imam Khalid Latif, the second ever Muslim chaplain for the NYPD. When he's in uniform, strangers salute him on the street. But in plain clothes, in an airport, it's a different story.
They say, look, man, you're young and you're male and you're Muslim, and those things don't go so well together right now.
Latif is also a chaplain at NYU. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Get the latest news about WJCT programming information, highlights, and events with the WJCT e-newsletter. Go to WJCT.org and sign up today. WJCT. Log on. Find out.
I'm David Luck, and host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, the 125th Fighter Wing of the Florida National Guard is one of the top five choices in the nation to become home to the F-35 Lightning II fighter jets. This is a big deal. Now, if Jacksonville is selected, the jets will come to town by 2022. And residents can get involved in seeing these jets come to the First Coast. With more, we welcome Colonel Brian Bell. He's commander of the 125th Fighter Wing in Jacksonville. Colonel, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks so much for having us here.
Thank you for being here. And this is exciting news for the Florida Air National Guard. The jet, the F-35 Lightning II, could be coming to your installation. Why is this exciting for you?
Well, we're very excited. Fingers crossed that it will be. We were one of five bases narrowed down from a list of 18 originally of Air National Guard bases in the Air Force's deliberate basing criteria. So they basically went to those 18 bases with a deliberate scoring criteria where they looked at weather, airspace, facilities, infrastructure, the Air Force trying to decide what would be the best Air National Guard locations to house the future of the F-35. And we're excited we were selected to be one of the final five. So they'll pick two of those, and hopefully we'll know by the summertime if we're at the top of the list.
Do you know who your competition is?
We do. Competition is Montgomery, Alabama, Boise, Idaho, Selfridge, Michigan.
Montgomery, Schmontgomery.
And
no.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Schmadison. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, so what do you have to do to win this competition, and why is it important for the F-35 to be based here, in your view?
Well, we want everybody to be just as excited as we are. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if and when the F-35 shows up in Jacksonville, you know, we obviously want the community to be every bit as excited in the future of the Air Force, aviation, and being a big part of the future of the strategic direction of the military in Northeast Florida.
Would the general public be able to come out and see these airplanes?
We typically do a couple times a year what we call Friends of the Fang. We're one of, I think, Jacksonville's best-kept secrets. We're obviously a pretty big Navy town. We love our Navy brethren, but you know, unless you happen to be looking out your Southwest at just the right time taking off from Jacksonville International Airport, you probably wouldn't even know we're out there. So you might see us fly over occasionally in our F-15s at the Jaguars games. But other than that, if you're in a small corridor between the airport and the Atlantic, you know, folks don't really know we're out there a whole lot. So,
well, we're going to continue to get the word out as we talk about this. We're speaking right now with Colonel Brian Bell. He's the commander of the 125th Fighter Wing in Jacksonville, commanding the Florida Air National Guard base there at the Jacksonville International Airport. The F-35 Lightning II fighter jet would replace the F-15 Eagle that was first produced decades ago. So how big a step forward is this for aviation in this area and for your staff there?
It is a, you know, for the Air Force, it's a very overdue and much needed change. You know, I'm certainly, you know, for the aircraft that I've flown the last 20 years, the F-15C, its primary role is air superiority. This aircraft, the F-35, was actually designed to not replace that, but five other Air Force variants. So what it really was designed to do is kind of consolidate, you know, for economic reasons, a lot of the costs associated with maintaining five different aircraft over a long period of time into one common airframe that would be used not only by the United States, but by a lot of partner nations as well as foreign military sales partners as well. So from a tactical, a pilot in the cockpit perspective, the aircraft is really amazing. It's considered a fifth generation aircraft. So the aircraft that I fly right now, because it doesn't have stealth capability and a lot of other things, really makes it obsolete, unfortunately, you know, with some of the advanced technologies that countries like China and Russia and others are producing now.
So this puts us on a stronger footing in that regard, you think?
Much, much more so, yes.
And let's talk about the 125th Fighter Wing. You provide air defense for the southeastern United States. You perform a continuous 24-hour-a-day, 365 days a year alert mission. You are in place to intercept unknown aircraft that comes into this region at any time. That's a big job.
It is, you know, and that's one small aspect. The 125th Fighter Wing, actually, we have five different units located throughout Florida. You know, your air guardsmen were involved in Hurricane Matthew when that came through, you know, as citizen airmen.
What did you do during Matthew?
Well, we were available for distribution of water. We had our airmen that were out clearing roads to pave the way for our Army soldiers who made sure that bridges were safe for people to go back to their homes and so on and so forth. So we have that state mission, but a big part of that federal mission that we support is aviation. And aviation has been in Northeast Florida, Jacksonville, in the Air Guard since P-51s after World War II. So we want to keep it going that way.
What do you love about flying?
I guess your previous guest, you know, who I got a chance to see out there, who has been in the circus and dreamed about doing that ever since she was a little girl. I've had the same dream of flying aircraft ever since I was a little kid. So it is absolutely a privilege and an honor to be working with fantastic airmen and doing that.
What will it be like if you land these jets? What will it be like to fly these jets?
Well, we hope to be able to land the first ones, like you said, here in Jacksonville, you know, in a few years. We're hearing good news that the Air Force might be trying to push up the timeline for when the Air National Guard basing might happen. So it could potentially even be here sooner than 2022. But we're hoping to see them in the skies over Jacksonville not too long.
Will you be flying one? Will you be up there?
Fingers crossed. I don't know if it's going to be in my future, but certainly a lot of the airmen in our wing will be transitioning.
How excited are they?
Very much so. I think, you know, we keep in pretty close contact with a lot of the colleagues and friends that we have at different units that are flying the F-35 right now, and we're hearing a lot of good things about it. So,
and what can Jacksonville do to sort of get a leg up on this short list, or is there anything?
Well, we are engaging a lot with our local community leaders and political leaders, not only here as far as the Florida City Council, our senators, and then our governor. But really just trying to petition the Air Force, you know, and the secretary in particular, who's going to make the final decision, that Jacksonville should be the right place to host the F-35, because we have a very strong military community here in Northeast Florida. A lot of really good longstanding relationships, Congressman Crenshaw, now Congressman Rutherford in particular. So we're looking forward to continuing that relationship in the future.
Well, thanks for joining us. Very interesting to hear about. We appreciate you being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
He's Colonel Brian Bell, commander of the 125th Fighter Wing in Jacksonville at the Florida Air National Guard will soon know if Jacksonville will become home to the F-35 Lightning II fighter jets. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. Our producer is Kevin Merchart. Michelle Corum runs the board. Our show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to the daily podcast through the WJCT app or on iTunes. And we always want your feedback. Emails go to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. 1A's up next with a look at Betsy DeVos, the nomination by President-elect Donald Trump for Secretary of Education. That's coming up. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Have a great day.
Classical music is available 22 hours a day on WJCT 89.9 FM HD2. Find out how you can listen to classical music by calling 358-6390. Enjoy classical music day or night on 89.9 HD2.
Unlock your newest member benefit. Over 1,000 episodes of your favorite PBS shows. American Masters. Antiques Roadshow. Nature. Nova. Masterpiece. Watch the best of PBS anytime, anywhere. Become a member. Sign in and start streaming today.
WJCT.org/passport.
Hello, I'm Stan Cleland, Vice President of Communications for WJCT Public Broadcasting. Now's the time we look ahead to the promises of a new year. Here at WJCT, January is a very exciting time, as many of your favorite dramas return with new seasons. Sherlock is back, Mercy Street returns for another exciting season, and the eagerly anticipated masterpiece series, Victoria, debuts this month. These are some of the programs, our non-pledge shows, that make up the iconic content WJCT offers each day. This is the content you value so much, but these programs are expensive and are made possible largely through funding from people like you. Your support makes it possible for WJCT to continue to share your community, your world, your dramas. Make a donation today at WJCT.org. Thank you and Happy New Year.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.